Good morning. Jill looked at me and said, go, go, go. So here I am. I'm happy to be here with you this morning and to share with you and to perhaps challenge you just a little bit on being missional, reaching out to the world around you and trying to show God's love to the least, last, and lost in this world. This morning, as I was coming in and getting ready and prepared to share this morning, I realized that the plan was to combine the two services this morning here in the sanctuary, and then in the second services this morning to combine all of those over as part of the contemporary service. So, just in case there was someone that is here this morning that traditionally attends the contemporary service, I preached there last Sunday, and so I didn't want to use the same sermon again here that I preached there, so I made a hard right turn, and so the sermon title you see and the scripture passage you see this morning will not be the one that I'm going to be using, because I didn't want someone to have to hear the same sermon twice. So this morning, I want to share from you, instead of the story of the Good Samaritan from Luke's Gospel, as printed in your bulletin, I want to share with you the call of the prophet Jeremiah. And if you want to follow along on that reading, it's page 698 in the Bibles in front of you. I'm beginning with verse 4 of the introduction to the first chapter of Jeremiah. So here are these words of God. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm excited to be here with you this morning and to share, and I feel even more confident about sharing the message that I decided to share. As AJ mentioned that I was going to share about Mission Guatemala and about being missional and serving in missions, which was not my original sermon, so she even knew where I was planning on going this morning with that. I now serve on conference staff. I'm the Associate Director for Mission and Justice Ministries in our Indiana United Methodist Church office. But prior to that, I served and worked in what we would call an extension ministry or in missions in the country of Guatemala for almost a decade. It's the second poorest country in this hemisphere. People there generally live off less than $1 a day. It's the worst in the world for chronic child malnutrition, even worse than Haiti. Young children there are always in need of food. And in terms of health-related issues, the two top health-related causes of death in Guatemala are diarrhea and pneumonia. So it's a country that's desperately poor and in desperate need. And about 10 years ago, I felt a call to go there and to serve God's people there. And my call felt, in many ways, a lot like Jeremiah's call did this morning. Let me kind of unpack for you what's happening in Jeremiah's call in the scripture reading this morning. We know that Jeremiah's a young guy. We don't know exactly how old he is, but he's probably maybe 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, certainly probably a teenager. And he's minding his own business, doing whatever it is that a young person that age would do. And the scripture tells us that all of a sudden, God appears to Jeremiah. Can you imagine being a young person and all of a sudden, boom, God is there in front of you? And God says, Jeremiah, before you even existed as a thought in your mother's mind, before you were even part of this world, I knew you. And I had a plan for you. And that plan is to be a prophet to the nations. Now that sounds kind of exciting, but if you really realize the role of a prophet, it's a pretty scary thing, because the role of the prophet was to go out into the world and call people back to God, tell them how they had fallen away from God and that their ways were not right and that they needed to come back and to be right with God. And, you know, people don't like being told a lot of times that they're not doing the right things. And as you read through scriptures, you will find that many prophets actually lost their lives for doing what it was that God had called them to do. So Jeremiah, being a very, very good human, does what all humans tend to do when they're called by God. Jeremiah begins to make excuses. He doesn't make just one excuse. He makes two excuses as to why he can't follow God's call. He tells God, "Look, God, first off, I'm way too young. I am way too young. There's no way I can deal with this. No one's going to listen to me because I'm such a young person. And besides that, even if they were willing to listen to me, I don't know how to speak. I don't have the gift of words that you need to carry out this role. So God, I'm not your person. It's not me that you're looking for." And God says, "Nonsense. Nonsense. I'm not even going to deal with the fact that you're making an excuse that you're too young and that people won't listen to you." And then, probably the most amazing part of this passage, the scripture tells us that God says, "And for the inability to speak, I will take care of that." And the scripture tells us that God reaches out God's hand and touches Jeremiah's mouth. Jeremiah is touched by God and says, "Now my words are your words. And Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for I journey with you." There's a lot we can learn from this passage. First off, one of the things I've learned in my own personal life is that when God calls you to do something, and even if you read throughout Scripture, you'll find this to be true. When God calls you to do something, when God calls the church to do something, generally, that call of God is a pretty scary thing. I mean, stop and think about it. "Hey, Noah, build an ark." Pretty scary call. "Hey, Moses, I want you to take all of these people and lead them out of Egypt to the place that I have prepared for you. Hey, Tom, I know you don't know Spanish. I know you're not a doctor. I know you don't know a whole lot about medicine, but I'd like you to go travel to Guatemala and open a medical clinic there for me." It was a pretty scary call for me. It was stepping way out of my comfort zone. And I made a lot of arguments to God about why I should or shouldn't make that trip and do that journey and start down that road. But God called me to make that journey, and so I decided I would step out of my comfort zone. It was not an easy thing to do. At the time, our bishop, Bishop Coiner, really did everything he could to try to talk me out of doing this. He sent district superintendents to me. He sent all kinds of people to me to try to talk me out of going on this journey to Guatemala because he was scared for me and what might occur on that trip. But I really felt called, and so the bishop agreed to make this appointment to let me go do work in Guatemala. And so I stepped out of my comfort zone to do that. Now, one of the other things we can learn from Jeremiah's passage this morning is that God will never call you to do something, no matter how scary it may be, without equipping you for the journey. You see, Jeremiah's only excuse really was, I don't have the gift of gab. I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to speak to people and get them to listen to me. And God said, "Well, that's not a problem. I can equip you for that." And so God reached out God's hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth and gave Jeremiah the words. God equipped Jeremiah for the thing that God called him to do. And my friends, that has been my experience, that even though you're called to do something scary and step out of your comfort zone and go do something that's just something you've never done before, that God always equips you every step of the way. I want to share with you just a few stories about how God equipped me and the organization that I tried to start in Guatemala and started in Guatemala so that we could carry out the journey God wanted us to do. I could tell you story after story, but I'll just share a few of them with you this morning. One of the issues that we had was getting a medical clinic open, and we were finally able to do that. We wanted to help serve the people, meet their health care needs, try to bring about better health in a small area of Guatemala. So we found a doctor. We began to get patients. We had staffed a pharmacy. But one of the issues that we were running into was that it was very, very expensive to buy medicines for the pharmacy. It doesn't do you very much good to have a patient come in. You can verify, yes, you are sick, here's what you have, but then you're not able to provide them with medicine that will help cure their illness. And medicines in Guatemala, just like they are here in the United States, can be very, very expensive. I'd been flown back to the United States a few years ago, to speak at a couple of churches, just like I'm doing now, about Guatemala and the work we were doing there. I preached at those churches, and I was getting ready to travel back to Guatemala. I boarded my flight in Atlanta and was getting ready to take the three-hour flight from Atlanta into Guatemala City, and this man comes in, and he sits down in this seat next to me on the plane. Now, if any of you travel very much or you have traveled very much, when someone does that, if you're honest, what you say to yourself is, do I talk to this person and get caught up in a three-hour conversation I really don't want to have, or do I just smile politely and nod to them? And so I opted for the, I'm going to smile politely and nod, because this looks like a guy I do not want to engage in a three-hour conversation with. So we got on our flight, we buckled our seatbelts, we took off, and we were about 45 minutes from landing in Guatemala City. Whenever the announcement comes on to put your seat backs up, raise your tray tables, get ready, we've been cleared to land in Guatemala City. The man sitting in the seat next to me, who I greeted with a smile and a head nod, had been working on a laptop, and he folded down the laptop and started putting everything away, and as he's doing all that in those kind of close-quarter seats, he reaches over and kind of hits me. Now, you know, it is amazing how hitting someone will start a conversation. And so he apologized, and I said, it's okay, tight quarters here, and then he asked me what I always refer to as the question. Because it's the question you always get on those flights to Guatemala. What are you going to Guatemala for? And I explained to him who I was and what I did. And he looked back at me and said, oh, that is very interesting. Let me tell you what I do. I'm the Latin American operations director for a company called Kaplan Point. Now, that means nothing to you, but man, bells started going off for me. Kaplan Point is the largest distributor of generic pharmaceuticals in all of Central America. And here we are struggling to figure out how we're going to keep medicines in our pharmacy. My new friend Ashok, sitting next to me, I said, hey, let me tell you, I know exactly what you do. I know your medicines. They're sitting on our shelves in our clinic, and we operate our clinic off donations, and it would just be amazing if instead of buying our medicines through the government pharmacy, we might be able to buy them directly from you. Would you be able to help me in some way? And he said, sure, I'd be glad to do it. I said, I think what you're doing is just amazing. And so he said, give me your email address, and I will email you something when we get off the plane. So I gave him my email address, and I was just sitting. I mean, can you imagine? I'm just bouncing in my seat. I'm so excited, you know. And so I get off the plane that morning, and we're walking away and we're departing, and I think to myself, you know, I gave him my email address and I do not have his contact information at all. He probably played the old, hey, give me your number and I'll get in touch with you game, and I'll never hear from him again. I kid you not, 15 minutes later, after I just cleared customs and immigration, my phone dings in my pocket, and it's an email from my new friend Ashok. And Ashok tells his staff in Guatemala City that he has met me on this flight, he likes the work I'm doing, and from now on, they are to always sell medicines to Mission Guatemala at cost. And he sent me a price list of what it is that we would be paying for those medicines, asked me two things. One, don't tell any pharmacies that I'm paying those prices. And two, promise not to resell them to other pharmacies, that we use them to help the poor. My friends, our pharmacy costs dropped 75% that day. 75%. God does not equip you to do something without providing you the means and the resources to do it in the time and place that God knows is best. In the time and place that God knows is best. I could share with you story after story about how we stepped out in faith each and every time. And each and every time, by stepping out in faith and trusting that God will not call us to do something, that God will not provide for us on the journey, that God was there. Let me share just one other quick story for you this morning. We had opened our medical clinic. We had gotten everything going there in Guatemala. And, you know, we decided we really wanted to try to do something about dental care, too. You would just see these beautiful children at different points in time give you these just wonderful smiles and all of a sudden realize their teeth are falling out and just rotting because they don't have good dental care. You see, dental care is probably one of the lowest priorities. And dental care in Guatemala is basically when you can't stand it any longer, you pull the tooth out. And I thought, we can do better than that. So I called a friend of mine, Robin Lannert, and I said, Robin, hey, I'm going to be back in Indiana for Christmas. You're a dental hygienist, which means you work for a dentist. Is there any chance I can meet with your dentist while I'm back in the States and learn what it's going to take to open a dental office? We've got our medical office open. And she said, sure. And so she arranged for me to have a meeting with the dentist that she works for on the Tuesday between Christmas. I remember it was a Tuesday. Tuesday between Christmas and New Year's. So I went in to visit with her dentist that she worked for on that day. He gave me about 15 minutes of time. I told him what it was that I was doing and trying to do. And I said, can you give me some idea of what it's going to cost to get a dental office open? And he said, you know, it's probably going to cost about $20,000. He said, you know, the reality is dentists use a lot of things. I mean, dentists use a lot of stuff. We could open our medical clinic fairly easily, a stethoscope, an otoscope to look in people's ears and mouth, a blood pressure cuff, I mean, a thermometer. You don't need necessarily that much equipment, but with dental care, you need a lot of equipment. And he said, it's probably going to be $20,000 worth of stuff. And I thanked him for his time and talking me through all of this. And I left his office kind of thinking, okay, that's like 20 people I need to ask for $1,000. I'm trying to figure out the formula that I need to go through to get the dental equipment that we want to get. It was the very next day, about 11 in the morning, Wednesday, about 11 in the morning, my phone rings. And it was my friend Robin, and she said, Tom, this is Robin. I just got to ask you a question. Are you sitting down? I said, no, I'm not. She said, well, you may want to, but you're not going to believe this. But Chuck, the dentist that she works for, just got a phone call that Dr. Scholl, who is a dentist that lives and works in Newburgh, Indiana, is retiring from his practice. He knew that Chuck had done a lot of mission work and wondered if he knew of somebody that he could give his entire dental office equipment away to, so that he could donate it to a good cause. And I thought, less than 24-hour turnaround. Very good, God. Thank you very much. But God does not equip you to do something without providing for the call. And I am convinced that all of these things and more stories I could share with you this morning are not coincidence. But it's God's hand at work trying to say, if you're willing to step out in faith to do the things I've called you to do, I will provide for you in the time and place that I know is best. The ministry that I started in Guatemala and other people are running now, we started just over eight years ago, with a $20,000 gift from a total stranger. Today operates a medical clinic that has 5,000 patients a year coming and going from it, medical, dental, eye clinic now. There's also an eye clinic where we can provide glasses for people. Over 5,000 patients a year coming and going. We feed meals on a daily basis to chronically malnourished children. I've lost count of how many thousands of meals a month we now serve to children in need. We've provided scholarships for children to continue on in school after sixth grade so they can get an education and come back and help change and better their communities. And we've started a vocational school program to teach women how to sew so they can make items for their families that they can then turn around and sell and create an income for themselves and their families. If you would have asked me 8 years ago what Mission Guatemala would look like 8 years later, I would have said, well, we'll just be operating a little clinic and having people kind of hopefully coming and going each and every day. But God had a greater vision, and God provided for everything along the way. You see, as we learn from the call of Jeremiah, God will never call you to do something without equipping you for the call and without journeying with you on the way. So my question to you this morning is simply this. What's God calling you to do? What has been lingering there in your heart that maybe you can do to make a difference in God's world? It certainly doesn't mean you've got to get on an airplane tomorrow and travel to Guatemala or some distant land. There are needs right here in Hamilton County and in our community. What is it that God is calling you to do? To be God's hands and feet to a hurting world. It's probably something that is a little scary to you. It probably involves stepping out of your comfort zone and interacting with people that you do not normally interact with each and every day. Even a bigger question, what is God calling Carmel United Methodist Church to do here in Hamilton County to be God's hands and feet here? It's going to be a scary call. It's probably going to be something where the first words you will hear out of someone's mouth is, but where's the money going to come from? All I can share with you is this. My experience has been when you faithfully respond to God's call, everything else falls in place. God provides for those things that God is calling you to do. And you never journey alone. For God is always with you on the journey. So whatever you feel God is calling you to do this morning, whatever over the next several months you feel God may be calling Carmel United Methodist Church to do to make a difference in this world, remember this message this morning. Remember these words of Jeremiah. For God will never call you, God will never call this church to do something to make a difference in the world, no matter how scary it may be, without providing the things that are needed to get it accomplished and without journeying with you on the way. My prayer is you say yes. You say yes. Here I am. Use me. Here we are. Use us. We want to change the world to the way you want it to be, God. Use us to be your resources. Amen.